Skagway Ore Terminal expansion gets the okay, and a 10-hour operation to rescue a hiker on the Chilkoot Trail. It's AKHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority on Monday approved the expansion of the Skagway Ore Terminal, paving the way for a Yukon magnetite project to soon begin production and exporting minerals through the southeast port. The Eagle Whitehorse project will extract magnetite from existing mine tailings at the former Whitehorse copper mine. It will be trucked to Skagway, where it will be stored at the ore terminal and shipped to market. But in order to move ahead with exporting through Skagway, the ore terminal needs an expansion. As owner of the terminal, the state corporation decided to move ahead with a $7.5 million expansion project to begin late this summer and expected completion by 2014. It also developed a lease agreement with Eagle Whitehorse to accommodate the delivery, stockpiling, loading, and shipment of the magnetite. Chuck Eaton, president of Eagle Mineral Resources, says the approval of the terminal expansion was the last approval needed to move ahead with the project. It's already received all the necessary permits to operate from the Yukon government. The Skagway Assembly on July 18th unanimously approved a resolution in support of the terminal expansion. Mayor Stan Selmer explained that Ada needed that show of support from the local government to move ahead.
This is the long-awaited magnetite haul is actually getting close to fruition, and Ada needs a resolution of support from the Assembly, which is part of their enabling legislation that they must check with the local government.
Assemblyman Gary Hansen brought up that now that the project is nearing fruition, the town needs to realize it will mean about 30 ore trucks a day traveling south on the Klondike Highway and through town to the terminal, and 30 trucks returning the same way.
We're talking about 30 trucks for the next 6 years?
A day?
A day, which is 60 trips through town a day.
Hansen asked if the resolution was the appropriate avenue to address truck traffic and stipulate that they only operate through town from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the summer months. Mayor Selmer said it was unclear how much regulation the town had over the truck traffic since they were traveling on a state highway. He suggested the assembly move ahead with the support of the terminal expansion and address the truck traffic issue through other means. Eaton said he expects to begin operations at the mine in 5 to 6 months. The Skagway Search and Rescue Team worked overnight Friday to assist a hiker on the Chilkoot Trail. The team ended up carrying the 65-year-old Canadian man in a litter 5 miles down the trail on a short raft trip and to a waiting ambulance that took a total of 10 hours. Colin Aikman is the captain of Skagway Search and Rescue. He said the patient was hiking with others when he suffered an undisclosed medical emergency. Members of his hiking party used a satellite phone to make an emergency call. An emergency relay service contacted Skagway 911, and the search and rescue was triggered. In this case, the team luckily didn't have to search as much as rescue the individual. The hikers were able to relay approximately where on the trail they were.
We didn't know exactly where he was. They gave us a location of somewhere between Finnegan's Point and Canyon City, which is kind of a large area, but at least it narrowed it down on the 33 miles of the trail.
A person with the National Park Service was on the opposite end of the trail and hiked toward the patient from that direction. Meanwhile, the search and rescue team coming from Skagway circumvented some of the trail by rafting.
We went to the West Creek raft put in and rafted across there, so that saved us a mile and a half. But we hiked in about 5 miles into him and then packaged him up in our litter and brought him back out another 5 miles and rafted across the river and brought him into town in the ambulance.
The entire rescue took about 10 hours, Aikman said. The call-out for the rescue came about 7:30 p.m., and rescuers returned to the fire hall about 5:30 the next morning. The exact condition of the patient wasn't released, but Aikman said the team determined the man should not spend the night on the trail, and so they began transporting him out immediately, using headlamps to see the trail.
Yeah, by the time we made contact with him, it was getting pretty dark, and then, we hiked throughout the whole evening along that trail, and the first mile to mile and a half of the trail coming south from his location was pretty rocky and I would say treacherous, and everybody did a really, really good job of communicating and walking him through there safely.
The patient was transported to Carcross, where an ambulance from Whitehorse met the patient to continue on to a hospital there. The team included 10 members of the Skagway Search and Rescue Team, 4 individuals with the National Park Service, and 1 Natural Resources University student who is working with the Park Service this summer. Aikman said this was the 6th search and rescue operation in Skagway this year. A day-long workshop in Clukwan this Friday is seen as the next step in village wellness efforts. Building Relationships begins at 9 a.m. in the Clukwan ANS Hall. A $10 morning session led by writer and historian Dan Henry will discuss historic relations between natives and non-natives. The presentation will serve as a jumping-off point for discussions on generational trauma, say event organizers. Henry's wife, psychotherapist Robin Grace, will work with the group in an effort to teach and provide tools for people to recognize and address their mental health issues. Joanne Elsie Spud, a lifelong Clukwan resident and behavioral health specialist for Southeast Regional Health Consortium, will also participate. Grace will lead an afternoon class for social workers on complexities of relationships between natives and non-natives. Tools for becoming more attuned to relational nuances will be discussed. Non-natives and people from outside the village are welcome to attend. For more information, contact Lonnie Hotch at 767-5581. Sponsors include Alaska Arts Confluence, Seven Echoes Farm, Lynn Canal Counseling, Search, and the Village of Clukwan. Registration details can be found at the website for the Seven Echoes Farm. This spring, a team of geologists went fossil hunting on Gravina Island and returned victorious. They came across fossil beds that contain what they've identified as ichthyosaurus bones. KRBD's Lila Carey talked to some of the team members and has this report.
Whatever you do, don't call them dinosaurs. If you do, a geologist will quickly correct you.
Yeah, it's not a dinosaur, it's a marine reptile.
That's U.S. Forest Service geologist Jim Bachtel. In May, he went to Gravina Island with University of Alaska Fairbanks geologists Patrick Druckenmiller and Kevin May and Ketchikan artist Ray Troll to look for some of these Triassic-age marine reptiles. They found some, and Bachtel's gone back a couple times since then to collect the fossils, package them up, and send them north for further study. Druckenmiller says Southeast Alaska has fascinating geology, including piles of rocks from the Triassic period. They form from sediment that originally was on the sea floor. Swimming above that sediment were marine reptiles.
And these animals were swimming around these islands way out in the Pacific Ocean and occasionally dying, and their bones settled to the sea floor. And, you know, over millions of years, these rocks have eventually been traveled northwards and become part of what's now Southeast Alaska.
Here's Troll explaining further how a tropical creature ended up as a fossil in Alaska.
You have to think of the Pacific Ocean as like a conveyor belt of rock that keeps hitting and it subducts. It actually goes under and it comes back around. And it's a really, it's a pretty mind-blowing thing. But Southeast Alaska is just a whole big jumble of this stuff. It's all these terrains is what they're called. And actually, the geological joke is this is the Southeast Alaskan terrain wreck. Drum roll, please.
Ichthyosaurs have been found on Gravina previously, and Druckenmiller says that's partly why they knew the rocks on Gravina might hold more. Basically, they went in and mapped the area previously to determine the age of the rocks. Once you have that, you know whether there's a potential for fossils.
What we usually find happens, you go and look in these places, and basically you find nothing. But the potential is there, and every so often, you know, you strike it rich and you find something really cool. So that was kind of the goal of this trip, was to see, to check out areas that had never been walked before by vertebrate paleontologists to see if we could find some vertebrate fossils.
And they did. Ichthyosaurs, which Druckenmiller says is the reptilian version of a dolphin or a whale.
Some of those bones were large enough to be from a group of ichthyosaurs we call shastasaurs or shonasaurs. And these are the largest marine reptiles that ever lived on the planet.
So just how cool is this?
This is cool.
Here's Bachtel again.
We don't have those great sexy dinosaurs that they have down south. We don't have the T-Rex and the apatosaurus and the duck-billed dinosaurs and all of these other things. But we've got really, really neat marine reptiles.
Bachtel says they're done collecting the really neat fossils for now, but there's more out there. and he asked the public to leave fossils in place if they stumble across any. He advises that amateur fossil hunters take photos, get GPS coordinates if possible, and then contact him or another geologist with the information.
Leave them in place and don't try to remove them, because they just, by chipping them out of the rock, they'll shatter and break, and it takes specialized tools and stuff to get them out.
It should also be noted that vertebrate fossil remains are a protected public resource, and it's illegal to disturb them without permits. But the geologists and citizen scientist Troll understand the temptation.
It's a mystery, you know. It's the hunt. It's the quest to understand. So just plain fun.
The bones of these really cool Southeast Alaska not dinosaurs, or a really good copy of them, might come back home someday. At least Bechtel hopes that will be the case.
So that we can share these finds with the public and our youth and conjure up ideas and visions of Triassic seas and the wonderment that comes along with dinosaurs down south, but with our much, much superior Triassic marine reptiles here.
In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Layla Carey for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.